Well, hello, Scott. Thank you so very much for being here today. I am so excited to be chatting with you.
Absolutely. I am. I'm so excited that you asked me to come on in the first place. And this is going to be fun.
I know. So you run the business, tap into your career. And before anything, let me ask you, why did you decide to name your business like that?
Oh my goodness. The reason
should be a good story.
honestly, the reason we even started this business in the first place is because I'd had other businesses in the past, and my wife and I were looking at starting another business and trying to decide, well, what does that even look like? What do we want to do? And I realized that people, because of a bunch of the past career changes that I'd had and made and gotten promotions and all kinds of other things like that, for several years at that point in time, my friends and coworkers had been saying, hey, will you go to coffee with me? I'll buy you a cup of coffee. Tell me how you did this. Like, how can I do this? So it seems obvious now after the fact, but ended up starting the business because I was already doing that and people were already offering to pay and send. We were getting thank you cards in the mail and gift cards and all kinds of stuff like that. So ended up deciding that, hey, I'm going to help people get to work that they're excited about and do things for work and start businesses that they absolutely love so that they can use their gifts and strengths to be able to do that. But in terms of the name, honestly, I came up with a whole bunch of different names, and somebody asked me the other day, what were some of the bad ones that didn't make it? And I don't know that I can remember. I was trying to go back and find them, but they were terrible. They were really terrible. And the only thing that I knew is I wanted to have something that really was somewhat symbolic of what we believed in terms of the company. So what I realized what I didn't realize at the time is almost everybody associates career with job. But career, if you actually look at the root word and how career gets made, it comes from the root word of caris and carius, and there's carreria and a couple other words that are in Latin and Roman ultimately Spanish and French. And if you look at that, one of the meanings of it is actually the wheel of the cart that is on a pathway. And ultimately, if you break it into what it actually means, is it's the journey. So when you think about career, really what that means or what it comes from is the journey that you're taking. And that was what we wanted to, that's what we wanted to be able to put out in the world. We wanted to allow people to take control of their journey and happen to their journey rather than having it happen to them. So that's where the name was born. And that was the best of what we had. And it was an available URL at the time for when this was just way back with a blog, and we were still experimenting with it. And so we took it. And ever since, we found a lot of people have responded to it.
I love it, because it does, like, when you hear this name, it does communicate your values, and it does communicate this message that you have to be the driver's seat of however you are building your business in your life, and whatever you are going to be doing moving forward, like, you get to choose, you get to say,
you do get to choose. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I love how you said that. Yeah, you get to choose.
Terrific. So you mentioned your wife. How many other people right now in your team? How large is your team right now?
Oh, let's see. So we have myself and my wife. My wife works, I guess you could say, part-time in the business. She does all of our finance stuff. She is my unofficial coach. She tells me when I have bad ideas and when I have good ideas. And
you listen to her.
She has a strangely accurate sense for when she tells me it's a bad idea and I go forward on it. It usually turns out to be a bad idea, and vice versa the other way too. So she's really what keeps the business profitable. But aside from me and her, we have seven other team members. Some are full time, some are part time.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So. I know that, so we'll come back to the team aspect in a bit, but before we do that, I want to ask you about your systems, because that's how I found you. I was listening to your interview with, I believe, Jamie Masters, and you mentioned your systems, and like something that like really stood out for me. So I know that you are very systems oriented. Tell me a bit more about your like, favorite systems, something that you are proud of, something that really helps you to helps your productivity, or it doesn't have to be business related, but I'm just very curious and I want to geek out about systems just a bit.
Yeah, I love systems. So you and I can absolutely nerd out over some of this stuff. And I would say some of my favorite systems actually are the ones where we have systems and then we have automation. Mm-hmm. And I almost separate out those two, even though some of the automation is sometimes a lot of the times part of our systems as well. But my favorite pieces of those are where it makes it super easy and super personalized. Because one of the things for our particular brand, and one of the reasons that we get such a high conversion rate in turning people that find us into customers, where we earn the opportunity to be able to help them further, either build their businesses or making career changes, is because we make a lot of the outward facing stuff, and even the stuff that's automated, super, super personalized. So for example, when I first started out this business, the person who was helping me get this started as a project, his name's Mark Sievercrop, but he and I wrote this 8-day course that helps people figure out what they should be doing for their career or their business. And we put it together, and we realized that, like, we put it out into the world and started having people sign up for it and realized that it was helping people, but we also realized we weren't getting a lot of feedback from people. So one of the things I started doing early on was emailing literally every single person that came into this course. And at the time, it was only, I don't know, one out of every couple of days or 3 days or something. We didn't have tons of traffic way back then. But I was doing this email, and I started testing different variations of it over time, and started noticing, hey, I'm getting a much, much better response. So actually, after I did all this testing, realized that I'm now pasting the same email to every single person, every single time somebody, and at some point where we started growing, we started getting like, you know, 8 or 10 people a day. And then all of a sudden I couldn't keep up with it anymore. So one system that came out of that, and we actually automated a good portion of it, is we would, when somebody would join, we would set it up so that the exact same email that I wrote would go out to them automatically. And here's what was absurd about that. We started to having, instead of like 15% of the people responding, we started having 35% of the people responding. Mm-hmm. So, but it was very personalized. I mean, it was an email that literally, it was the one I would write to them anyways. And now it was taken care of automatically. And then it would come back in, and we could see who are the people that are having the types of problems that we can solve best. And then we would communicate back with those people and then be able to either suggest that we get on a call because we think we can help them in this way, or ask further questions about their problems. But it ultimately turned into this process that now we still do to this day. And the email's not coming from me anymore. It's coming from our community success manager, Mike. And it's one of the ways that we can continue to solicit incoming information and incoming requests. And it changes our leads from, you know, from already warm leads to really excited leads when we're communicating in that very, very personalized way. And then they can still expect back a 100% personal email every single time when they respond to us. So there's one example out of many.
Yeah. And it's such a great example, because you're absolutely right. When we begin seeing that we are doing something over and over again, the same action, like this trigger has to go off for, okay, like, let me step back and see how I can streamline this piece so I don't need to be doing this over and over again. And maybe there is an automation that can help with this piece, but a lot of times there are just like simpler things that we can do, like checklists or like even canned responses if somebody has like lower volume of emails to send out. But another piece that I loved about what you said is that when I speak to people, a lot of times they really they're a bit afraid of systems because they think that systems get kind of forced onto their business. But what you illustrated, it's like systems come from within. Like once we see that something is happening at a specific, like something happens with a specific frequency or something like that, that's when we get to kind of create structure around it. So like systems come from within. Like we don't have to kind of just like force systems onto like something that we are doing. But then when we do it other way around, that's when they become like very natural and easy to follow. Plus, just like you mentioned, it's your audience still feels very much connected with you, and it doesn't feel kind of like system-like or kind of like boxy.
Yeah.
They still get to interact with you, with your team, and the response rate is much higher. Now they get to interact with you so much more frequently, and you get to help them now in a way that really helps them solve their problems. So such a fantastic example, like really, really great.
Well, thank you. And I love the way that you put it. Systems come from within. And that's one of the rules of thumb that we use on our team is like, hey, when we find that we've done this three or four times, that's our mental trigger for we need to create a system or a process or a standard operating procedure is what we'll call it internally for us. But we need to create something to make that easier. You know, whether that is anything from we use Text Expander a lot as to be able to just type a couple of letters and have it pop in a big long email or a big long whatever it might be that we're doing over and over, or canned responses as well that are built right into Gmail that that almost anybody has access to.
Yeah, that's
super cool. The coming from within part.
So do you empower your team members to look out for these things that happen repetitively and create some structures around it?
Yes. One of the things that we live and die by is, I'm guessing you are probably familiar with the 80-20 rule, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's heard of the 80-20 rule and whatever else, right? So the 20% of the efforts end up generating 80% of the results. What people aren't as familiar with is that if you break down that top 20% and you're looking at only the top 20%, that has its own 80-20 curve and 80-20 distribution.
That's
so
true.
The top 4% generates, if you're looking at it that way, the top 4%, this tiny, teeny, tiny amount of stuff at the top generates 64% of the results. So for our team, everything internally and externally, we try and focus on those top 4% methodologies. And so we have conversations behind the scenes like that all the time. It's like, okay, what's the top 4% here? And that's common language for our team behind the scenes. But when we encounter some of those things that we're doing again and again, and also they're generating results, that is where every single person on the team is aware that is our trigger, that's our red flag, that's our bell dinging very loudly in the background, that we need to create some type of system or process around that, whatever it might be. And it looks a little bit different for everything, but especially if it's something that we're going to repeat in the future and we know it's already effective. So one really simple example, this is a ridiculously simple example, but we realized that going along the lines with making it very, very personal, that people that come into our world via email, adding them on LinkedIn and taking the time to connect with them on LinkedIn is just another way that we can extend out our personal brand. And people really appreciate that. One, because they know that there's an actual person behind there doing it, because you can't automate that part. But the part that we realized was taking a lot of time is writing those messages. So instead, we spent the upfront time to write a message that really, for the most part, works 95% of the time for everybody. And it's very personal, it's very genuine. And it just says something like, hey, you know, I thought we could connect over here too. And if there's any way that me or my team can help, don't hesitate to let us know. And like, that's it. But we have a text expander where we can just hit two buttons and that message pops into play and we can adjust it. And then I have somebody on my team that will actually, I try and do a lot of those myself, but then I have somebody on my team that goes and catches all the ones that I can't make the time for. And that way I can connect personally with those people. And then when they send me a message back, I personally respond to them.
That's fantastic. So what are some other signs that tell you that, okay, this specific task belongs to that 4% category? Because as business owners, we do so many things, and sometimes it's so difficult to see forest for the trees. So how, what signs do you look for?
Where you are seeing those patterns for the things that really move the numbers or your key performance indicators in your business. So with that LinkedIn example, one of the things that we observed is we were seeing that when we had different touch points in different areas, like once on our blog, and then once in email, and then once on LinkedIn, if we had 3 to 4 touch points with somebody, those people were converting to customers at ridiculous rates, like 75% of those people when it started out, when we were paying attention to it originally. So that was our indicator that, hey, that is converting really, really well. And it's kind of obvious after the fact, like we all want to interact with people personally, and we all want that, one-on-one type of treatment. And that's a way that we could be able to offer that at some level of scale. Doesn't scale perfectly, but it's something that we can do right now in our business that's very, very easy and has a huge impact. Yeah. So those were the things that we were looking for, because for us, one of those, and for most businesses, is stuff that's bringing in revenue and bringing in profit is certainly one of those top performance indicators, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one, but others might also be what's bringing in more leads, or what is allowing those leads to convert to the next step. As you go through kind of the micro conversion of each part of your business and begin to break it apart into what matters most, when you're seeing those things that impact any one of those to move it down the line, that's what I would look for.
Yep.
And does that help?
That helps tremendously, and I will comment on it in a second. But one more follow-up question: how often do you actually review these metrics and look at these things?
We do it at different times, and here's another system I suppose that pops up too. So this is a really simple system, but after every launch that we do, we're in a launch right now for one of our programs called Career Change Bootcamp, and with that, as we finish this launch, we actually have a Slack channel where, as we think of things throughout the launch, we just drop them right in there. In the Slack channel, I think we've got it titled something along the lines of things to improve for the next launch or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember it. I just dropped something in there this morning. But either way, we've got that. And then we've got this running list of things that we capture. And then when we go to do a review, sometimes that's called a postmortem, sometimes that's called, we call it a launch review and recap. And then we know exactly what we've already got, the list that's already there in one place to be able to review and then put action steps around so that we can make changes for it next time. And then we can prioritize those action steps and then assign them to who on the team is actually going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then go from there. That way we actually are not just learning something, but then taking those learnings and doing something with it that can impact our business the next time around. So that's one example. So that happens, every time we do a launch. But then we also review we review metrics and what impacted those metrics, and we pull all the data after that launch too. We've got Leslie, who's on our team, who does our digital marketing. She's been a lifesaver because she's got everything set up for Google Analytics. So she pulls all the reports and says, here's what we actually found. And then we can measure that against, hey, we thought this one email was going to do really, really well, but turns out, we only got a 2% click-through rate on this particular email. So we'll do it at that time. But then we review it on roughly a monthly basis. And then we also review other types of metrics on a weekly basis too. So it depends. So something that we review on a weekly basis is what sales are incoming, what leads do we have in the pipeline, how many are those. On a monthly basis, we're looking at, hey, where did these sales come from? What were the steps that took place in there to see if we can notice any of those patterns and see anything that's already working that we can just do more of, or that we need to put a system in place because we want to double down our efforts in that area.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for all these examples. And there are so many great lessons, because one, we have to keep track of the numbers. And for our listeners, depending on their business, the kind of things that they have to be measuring or looking at regularly will differ, but just like decide what those are and keep track of them. But another such an important piece, and this is something that a lot of my creative clients really struggle with, is, and plus there are so many things that we could be doing, like in terms of marketing and this and that, but doing something long enough to see how it works, that's so important. Not like changing like tactics all the time, but just like doing it enough to see, okay, this works, this doesn't work. And if this works, like how can we do this? Like how can we do more of this? Or how can we do this better? Or how we can systematize it so that we don't spend as much time on it, like, just like you said. So it's such an amazing example. Thank you. Like all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so going back to URT, how when you I also want to keep track of our time. I want to ask you so many questions. With your team, like if you look back, what did you start to delegate first? Like what was the trajectory of like how your team grew and like what kind of responsibilities you started delegating?
And I'll say that to put this into context, we've grown a lot really recently. And it really wasn't that long ago where it was me and Alyssa, my wife. Like that was it. That was us. And it's funny how things like that can change in such a short period of time. And it blows my mind actually a little bit. But it really started out as myself. And then there was the guy that I mentioned earlier. His name's Mark Sievercrop, and he does mostly affiliate marketing now, and he's not with our company anymore, but he just came on and helped me get this started as a project way back when I decided I wanted to take this blog and turn it into a business for sure. Then he was right there to be able to help. And I don't think we would have been able to launch it without him. He helped me, be able to bounce ideas off of, and he helped me with some of the initial work and everything in between. But then even if you don't have somebody like a Mark or something like that, I mean, there's certainly ways to be able to get the benefit of like that for what I was getting too, mastermind groups and certainly, accountability partners and other friends, or even being able to divide the work up another way. And this is something else that we started doing too, because at some point Mark went away. So we started saying, okay, what tasks do we have in place that we can hire out for Fiverr? And eventually we're an audience-based business. So we actually reached out to our audience and said, hey, we've got some of these different things that are available that we need for. And originally it was some social media management, and it was getting our blog posts and getting our podcasts into WordPress and being able to do the things behind the scenes. And we said, hey, we, honestly can't pay a lot when we got into some of these conversations, but it's we'd love an intern type position to be able to start out with. And we had a pretty darn good response. So that's actually where it started. And we had the benefit of having a built-in audience a little bit, even though at the time it wasn't that big. It's like 300 or 500 people on an email list. And we absolutely took advantage of that. But there's other ways that people can do that too. You can reach out to other groups that you're involved with that have other people that are just getting started, that they would also benefit from being able to learn at the same time and see the learnings that you're going through, which is one of the observations that we had with our early team members. And then we brought on one of our podcast listeners named Tracy, and she helped us out with that. And then from there, we outsourced our podcast post-production, I guess is probably the easiest way to explain it. And then we started about a year after that growing in team members beyond that. We hired eventually our first coach onto our team so that I wasn't doing all the coaching with our business. And then we now have three coaches. We have a podcast manager. We have a partnerships manager who helps us build relationships and collaborations and joint ventures for different other companies we work with. Like we work with Muse.com and several other businesses, actually about 100 other businesses. And then we've got a few more people on the team too. Leslie, who I mentioned, that it just saves our bacon every time on digital marketing. And a lot of these people have started with us, or some are still working with us on a part-time basis, just because that's where we're at as a business. We, for some of these roles, they're not large enough necessarily to where we need them full-time or can afford cash flow full-time. Mm-hmm. So we've grown as we have earned the right to be able to move, I guess, as fast as we possibly can based on our cash flow.
It's so amazing. And I love what you said, because what I saw is that, like, first of all, you've always, like, what you made sure was that whoever came on board was already familiar with your company, with your values, with your mission. So they were able to start, so they were not starting from zero. Like, they knew that, and then they could, like, add value to your business. But another thing that I noticed is that in the beginning, you delegated things that required technical skills, something that was easy to explain or easy to learn. And as your business grew, you started delegating pieces where they required for you to explain your methodology. And, like, there was, like, much more, like, ownership and involvement that person had to have with your business. And, like, for that, we have to have much better understanding of our business, don't you think? Like, once we begin delegating this, like, larger pieces, or pieces where, like, we've been doing something, like our way of doing something, and then, like, somebody else takes over. Like, it's no longer that, okay, upload that blog post. It's like totally different level of trust and way that we need to communicate to that person how we need this, like, task to be done.
Yeah. And one of the things that we do, I used to, back in another, feels like another life at this point, I used to do, I was an HR director. And even before that, I did lots of different types of training development and hiring and onboarding and all kinds of things like that. So I already understood the value of doing lots of upfront work to save a whole bunch of work later. So we do that in everything that we do for onboarding and training. And if it's helpful, I can actually share some of our onboarding and training documents as well.
I just did the training for my audience on team member onboarding. Please, if you can share something.
Absolutely. So what I'll do is I'll send you some of our internal Google Docs that we use, or Google Spreadsheets, actually, that link up all the different types of training and everything like that. I'll send you that for one of our positions here. And then that way you can see what we go through. But we essentially, I sit down and I do this for literally, this sounds like an absurd amount of time, but I spend like 6 hours, and I block out about half of a day, and I go to Starbucks and I sit down and try and think, what is everything that I can possibly brainstorm that they'll need to be successful in their role? And I keep asking myself that question again. And a lot of times I'll make a mind map or jot down a tons of notes or whatever else. Or if I know that I'm hiring a position, even before I sit down and do that, I'll actually be, I have an Evernote file where I'll create for that position. And even back when I'm doing, you know, job description and everything like that too, I'll jot down all my notes in there so that I can just come back to that. And then that way I'm not having to, like, produce all of these things and put the pressure on myself to come up with it all at once, because that's impossible for the way my brain works. But I'll take what I have and then build on it and turn that into this document that essentially is a training document, a training spreadsheet. But even before that too, even before that, when we're hiring somebody on board, and I can share one of these with you too, when we're writing, not so much the job description, but I'd say job posting, because it's partially marketing. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, it's partially marketing because I want to attract the right people. Just like in regular marketing, I want to appeal to the types of people that we want to work with and we want to attract to the position. So we spend a lot of time on this too. So and here, I'll drop it deep in the chat so that you can see it and you can share this up or link it up too. This is our partnerships and affiliate manager. And it says things like, you know, happen to your career. We're a rapidly small growing company and believes in doing work you love and doing work in your strengths. We value potential over experience and give high preference to those who are already familiar with our brand and how we help people live the life they want to. So we go into some of that stuff and then we identify what you're going to be doing and what we're looking for somebody who, We're looking for somebody who, in this case, for our partnerships and affiliate manager, already knows that copywriting isn't misspelled legal terminology. And and you know what the back end of a WordPress website looks like. And you probably have your own blog or website. And we're describing the type of person for who that is. But then once those people apply, we actually have them go through and do different types of tasks even before we ever talk to them. And they're smaller. They're not like, you're not spending 7 hours or something like that up front. But we have them do a few tasks to understand, hey, is this really the right person? Is it worth getting on the phone? And we tell them we're going to take the top three people. And from there, then once we take those top three people, we have them come back and we have them do some larger project and tasks before we actually get, once we've selected them, but before we get on the phone with them. And then that helps weed out the process. So by the time they even get there and get to that training that we've spent time creating, then they already are the right person. Yeah. They already know how a lot of this stuff works. They already have been embedded in our world to some degree because they're working with stuff that are actual projects that we do. So we give them access to some of our internal pieces so that they can do that just like they were in the job for us. And that helps tremendously, but it requires a ton of upfront work. And sometimes you feel like you don't have that time. And blocking it out on the calendar and doing something like that 6 hours probably saves me literally hundreds of hours the rest of the year.
That's beautiful. And I agree with you completely. And this is something that not many business owners choose to spend time on when they begin hiring, but that work is so critical. And you're right, when you take your prospect through such a thorough process of selecting the right person and then take your time to properly onboard them, that person will not be babysitting, will not need babysitting. You'll be able to give not just tasks to that person, but you will be able to give him or her ownership of that, the whole area of responsibilities. And then you will just need to be checking up on him or her, but then you will know that things will be done the way they need to be done. So, very last question. I just wanted to ask about your mindset. How did your mindset change as your company grew? Because you went from working just with Alyssa, just the two of you, and managing a smaller business, but now you have this large team. What changes have you seen in yourself as the business grew?
I've learned I'm more of a control freak than I thought I was. I thought I was not at all, to be quite honest with you, coming into this. And I mean, I used to teach this in another job. Like, I got paid six figures a year to be able to teach other people this stuff. So I sort of came into it with the assumption that I am not that way. But turns out it's slightly different sometimes for your own business, and that changes the dynamic. And also, there have been many things that I thought that I had to do in the business. Like, coaching was a great example. I mentioned we now have multiple coaches on our team. We have, you know, somebody who helps with business coaching. I also do a little bit of business coaching, but I only work with three people at a given time. But we have got those other coaches on our team that are helping people with career changes in business. And I thought I was the one who needed to do 100% of that. I did not see how it was possible to be able to make that transition. I mean, I figured it was probably someday well in the future when I had all this stuff set up and that eventually it would be possible, but didn't consider that could be a real thing. And consequently, there have been other things like that. I mentioned a partnerships and affiliate manager. I thought I was the one who needed to go and build all those relationships with different organizations. So the biggest mindset switch for me has been letting go of these pieces that I am convinced or have felt that I must do it myself for it to work. And that's been harder than I would have anticipated for myself. And it's in every single area where I have let go of that, our business has grown phenomenally. And so I need to keep doing more of that. So now I ask myself the question of, hey, under what circumstances could somebody else do this? Instead of saying, could somebody else do this?
That's a
and that helps me tremendously.
Okay, so that's what we will leave our audience with in terms of like ask yourself this question and see and like try one, like, try letting go of one thing. We're not asking you to do the entire, to give away everything that you are doing right now, but like let go of one thing that you think that only you can do. See what needs to, what structures need to be in place for you to feel comfortable that you can give it away and for you to be able to see how well this other person is doing it, that needs to be in place. But otherwise, just take on this challenge.
Absolutely.
All right, Scott, very last question. So what's next for you? What's next for your business? What you're working on now and where we can find you online?
Yeah, you know, we are very, very excited about helping people make big moves in their careers. And for some people that is making a completely different career change to work that they love and they do incredibly well and that they can be great at. And for other people that is starting businesses and you know, further growing their businesses. And we are absolutely very excited to support people in that way. I would say that all the products that we are developing over the course of the next 12 months and all the services that we are putting out into the world over the course of the next 12 months fall into those categories. And that's, we're going to keep running down that road. So we're very excited to do that. But we are over at happentoyourcareer.com, or you can even search Happen to Your Career on iTunes and be able to pop up our podcast, which has all kinds of different stories of people making career changes. And then we actually break down how they've done those pieces and make it very, very actionable for people so that they can take away something every time. So that's another place you can find us. And if you want a great example of some of that automation and systems in action, you can actually go over to figureitout.co. That's figureitout.co. Mm-hmm. And that's that original 8-day course that I was talking about that we've had something like 15,000 people through at this point in time. Wow. And it's literally an 8-day video course that helps people get really clear about what they're great at and ask some really good questions that a lot of our coaches will use when they're working with people one-on-one to be able to identify what you need to change or how you can change your life and your career and your work so that you can have more happiness more often.
Terrific. Well, Scott, thank you so very much. I will give all the links below our interview so our listeners will be able to check out both your website and this course that you mentioned. And thank you so very much. You've given such fantastic examples, and I'm sure that our listeners will take away so much from this interview. Plus, like, they have a challenge to complete.
I love it. I'm so appreciative for you asking me on in the first place. This has been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.